You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Well, the question yesterday was, how was Kamala Harris going to do in debating Vice President Pence last night? But we're going to talk about that. But another question has arisen today, folks. And that question is Nancy Pelosi okay? I don't know. I don't know what is more bizarre than Nancy Pelosi at her regular press conference saying, come back tomorrow because we'll be talking about the 25th Amendment. Honestly, folks, you can't make this stuff up. We have the audio for you as well. Stay with us, folks. All right, welcome everyone around the globe and across the net. Kyle Warren with you, and I can't get over that, but we're going to tell you about this on the program today. And folks, welcome to the show. It is the Thursday edition of the program, Thursday, October the 8th, 2020, and we have an awful lot to tell you as we race into and rocket into the program today. And of course, we're going to talk about the debate from last night between Vice President Pence and Senator Harris. We've got a lot of good audio clips. We'll have some great analysis and reaction. And last night on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program, Captain Matt Bruce and I, we had a lot of good reaction from that debate. A lot of good callers as well. And I think a lot of people, I think that they saw perhaps a side of Kamala Harris, if they even kind of really knew who she was at all on a national scale. But I don't know how she really would have played to a lot of folks who may not have been very familiar with her. And we'll tell you about that on the program. But Captain Matt and I had a great program last night. And of course, I'll be a guest later on this evening on the Captain's America Third Watch radio program. Simply go to KyleWarrenShow.com for links to listen live to Captain Matt Bruce's flagship station of AM860 The Answer there in Tampa, Florida, as the program goes out along the Salem Media Group of stations, also along the GCN network as well. And all that starts up at 11:05 p.m. Pacific, 2:05 a.m. Eastern Time. Hope to see you there on the radio this evening. Pardon me. Okay, so as I said, we have an awful lot to tell you about. We're going to tell you about Nancy Pelosi. We'll tell you about this bizarre story about Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, and that people were arrested who were evidently plotting to kidnap her. The report I saw said even they wanted to kill her. So this is obviously a terrible, terrible story. We'll tell you about the latest details that we know of in it, plus a lot of other great things we're going to be talking about, again, pardon me, folks, on the program today. But let's start, before we get to the debate, because I've got a lot of notes. I've got a lot of things that I want to tell you. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Okay, right before we get to the Nancy Pelosi thing, I'll say one thing about the debate, and then we'll get back to the debate. And that is, on the whole, Kamala Harris seemed to sort of portray the kind of person that you might see come into, a homeowners association meeting. I think a lot of us have been there, and you've actually, when it's that one night when somebody comes in, you've never really seen them before, but they have an axe to grind, they have a bone to pick, and they come in and they pretty much cause a lot of chaos. They tell the HOA everything it's done has been a lie, then somebody tries to talk to them and they say, I'm speaking now, and then they say, well, traditionally, historically, we've done, you want to talk about history now, or you want to talk about history? She gave off that vibe of, I'm speaking here, this, it's my turn, I am speaking now, and can I finish? And, when Ross Perot did that, it was a little bit, it was a little bit funny, can I finish? Those of you who remember Ross Perot way back in 1992. When he did it, it seemed a little bit more comical, but Kamala Harris didn't really come off as comical at all. But again, we've got a lot more to tell you about Kamala Harris on the program today. But first, let's get to this thing with Nancy Pelosi. Let's pull up this audio. And then we will go from there in this bizarre sort of weird Nancy Pelosi moment where she was giving her press conference and then all of a sudden veered into the 25th Amendment. Let's listen in.
I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen. Instead of addressing the fact that 50,000 people were infected, reported to be infected yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died. What are we talking about here? Tomorrow, by the way, come here tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment, but not to take attention away from the subject we have now. Okay.
Okay, so tomorrow, come here tomorrow, and we'll be talking about the 25th Amendment. Oh, my goodness. This is kind of bizarre. It would seem to me that maybe that would be the most important thing at that point, to sort of maybe continue, maybe extend the press conference a little bit if you needed to, in order to be able to have this incredibly important, evidently, discussion about the 25th Amendment. Nancy Pelosi sounding just, I don't know, I think she's just gotten a little, she just kind of went over the edge a little bit right there. I think they are absolutely apoplectic. And because I think this does tie in with the vice presidential debate, I think they're absolutely apoplectic that they, that Kamala Harris did so poorly. Maybe they thought she was sort of their last best hope in order to try to pull out some kind of victory against Donald Trump. And I can tell you this much before we get to some reaction about Nancy Pelosi's statement about come back tomorrow for the 25th Amendment. But honestly, this is more desperation. If the Democrat Party elite actually believed that they were going to win and that Joe Biden really was 12 or 14 points ahead in the polls, they wouldn't be talking about any of this. They wouldn't be now trying to oust the president with the 25th Amendment. They wouldn't be doing what they're doing. And even Kamala Harris last night in the debate went into her, you know, what I call the campaign commercial pause. It's kind of like we pause this debate briefly for Kamala Harris to give you the beg for votes commercial. You know, come on, we got to go vote and vote. It's so important to vote and all this kind of thing. Whereas, you know, again, trying to get people to vote by saying, hey, Kamala Harris could run the country, which I don't think that was the conclusion they came to by watching that debate. This from Fox News. Republicans were baffled by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's Thursday suggestion that she might introduce a bill allowing a body appointed by Congress to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office as he recovers from the novel coronavirus. The 25th Amendment allows for the vice president to become acting president if it is determined that the president is, quote, unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, unquote. Currently, the vice president and cabinet can invoke that amendment. Tomorrow, come here tomorrow, Pelosi said, as we just heard, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. Pelosi was referring to a bill she will unveil Friday with Representative Jamie Raskin, Democrat of Maryland, that would allow Congress to establish a permanent body to determine whether the president is fit for office. An oversight commission on presidential capacity. The bill is expected to reflect legislation that Raskin introduced in 2017. Still, Pelosi would have to convince Senate Republicans to go along with it. plus Vice President Mike Pence would also have to sign a declaration as well, which would be highly unlikely, the article says. Okay, you know, they're using the word now. Wait a minute. This sounds kind of like maybe, you know, staging a coup. My goodness. This is how far behind they are in the election. This is how far behind they really are. It's unbelievable.
If you're a veteran looking to file for your service-connected benefits through the Department of Veterans Affairs, don't go it alone. AMVET's highly trained service officers stand ready to walk you through the process at VA regional offices around the country, helping you to navigate the complex VA system free of charge. With new presumptions for Agent Orange exposure and other conditions, AMVET's can offer you the advice you need to finally receive all of your earned benefits. In 2009 alone, AMVET's helped process more than 65,000 claims and appeals, securing more than $410 million in benefits. To find your nearest AMVET service officer or to learn more, visit amvets.org.
Hey, I'm going out to buy those shelves for the closet.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
Honey, I love you, but 800 more flowers? You'll give the neighbors a real reason to think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright a bulb is. Our 60-watt bulbs give off about 800 lumens. We can replace them with new 800 lumen bulbs. Bulbs just as bright that use much less energy.
So, we'll save money.
Yes, and we can use that money to increase my allowance.
Right. Wise guy.
Worth a try.
So, you got that?
Got it. No tulips, no watts, 800 lumens, and more savings.
He got it.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
After a long, hard day in the rough and tumble world of politics, open a tall, cool Kyle Warren show. Ah, that crisp, refreshing taste. That smooth style. That effervescing attitude. And without all that other stuff that can, well, bog you down. Helping to put back what the daily media assault takes away, listen to The Kyle Warren Show weekdays right here on this station and visit the website at kylewarrenshow.com.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of the Edwards Notebook. Class is in session with the professor of politics, Kyle Warren.
Yes, it is, and thank you, Mr. Ron Edwards. We're going to hear from Ron a little bit later on with the Edwards Notebook. And folks, welcome back to the show as we race through and rocket through the Thursday edition. And don't forget, you can go to KyleWarrenShow.com. That's KyleWarrenShow.com. There you can find me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook, check me out on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the program as well. And we keep going up and up and up, just like the music is doing right there. For one reason and one reason alone, and that is you, the listener, and we just really appreciate everybody out there. Thank you for the support, well wishes, people checking in, people subscribing, people friending me on Facebook as well. Really do appreciate it. Glad to have you on board. And if you're new here to the program, and if you like what we do encourage you to consider subscribing to the program and also sharing the program on your social media as well, so you can help tell your friends about the program. So it's 26 days away. Again, if Nancy Pelosi is any indication, I don't know what happened to her earlier today, but honestly, this is a real tell. And it's the same thing. We've been saying this for a long time now. Joe Biden wouldn't look at the camera and go, "You're already in voting. It's vote. Tell your people, the senators, and let them know that you're voting." You know, it's this kind of stuff. And then Kamala Harris does that. And then, by the way, it's just kind of mishmash here today a little bit because so many things are happening. Last we heard, of course, President Trump does not want to do a virtual debate and said earlier today he wouldn't waste his time with a virtual debate. So then I find out that one of the Biden people basically saying, this is... basically President Trump is, you know, he's backing down from this, and he could do a virtual debate and this kind of thing. And I'm thinking, well, what do you people care? What do you care? what do you care? And if anything, you don't want any more debates with Trump. Why would you need them? Because you're already so far ahead in the polls, right? It's Biden's, he's going to get 350 electoral votes or something. It's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a Biden landslide. What do you care if President Trump doesn't come out and debate? It's 26 days away. Hey, you're winning. You don't have to risk fumbling the ball at this point, right? And so, again, it's one of those things. It's kind of like Michelle Obama trying to tell us that it's all mostly peaceful, you know. And so, don't believe what you're seeing out there happening in your city. It's mostly peaceful and this kind of stuff. Again, it's we're being told, don't believe what we're seeing. And I think the Biden people know that they're really, really in trouble. Let's see here. Let's see here. Representative Andy Biggs responded about Nancy Pelosi. Congressional Democrats have not stopped their quest to remove President Donald Trump from office since the day he was sworn into office, working day and night to overturn the will of Americans. Yeah, you better believe it. That's what they're doing. Here is another installment of their pathetic series. Let's see here. And then Donald Trump, of course, he tweeted out, let me see here, I think I have this here. Crazy Nancy is the one who should be under observation. They don't call her crazy for nothing. that's what he said. Again, this is really, really, really something. Representative Mark Green of Tennessee, Republican of Tennessee, tweeted, I wouldn't put it past at Speaker Pelosi to stage a coup. She has already weaponized impeachment. What's to keep her from weaponizing the 25th Amendment? We need a new speaker, he says. And I agree. I think that's exactly right. And so wouldn't that be great? Now we're just going to have a congressional body that's going to decide day to day, really. Well, we don't like what the president's doing. If we don't like what he's doing, he or she must be, you know, completely off their rocker. So, you know, boy, wouldn't that be nice just to be able to remove the president anytime you just didn't like what he did? And that's kind of what they did with, all the other stuff they're attacking him on. They just didn't like what he did, and that was that. And it turned out there was no collusion. There was no, there wasn't any of these things that he was accused of, and especially in the phone call. And yet they were able to weaponize these very, very serious levers of power, as it were, in order to further their own political gains. Yep, that's what it's all about to them, I would expect. And this 25th Amendment thing is silly on its face, and they know it, and this is exactly what they're going to they're gonna keep doing. Okay, here, let's see. Now, for the debate last night, again, what a very interesting thing indeed that we were able to witness. I thought that Kamala Harris was going to come to this debate, and I know that she's very formidable. I understand that. But I wasn't prepared for the level of sort of weirdness that she had, and inexperience on display, because matched up to somebody like Mike Pence, who has a lot of experience as number one as a chief executive, as a governor, but also someone who understands, because he did host a talk show and this kind of thing. So someone who understands probably how to formulate these things, and be articulate. One thing I'm not being right now, but to be articulate, basically, yes, I know Kamala Harris was a prosecutor, but it was an entirely different set of skills that she needed, really, in order to come across as credible, likable, someone who could step into the role of President of the United States literally in a heartbeat and be able to run the country and instill confidence. And I just don't think that she got there with that at all, because it was the head shaking and the laughing. It was the eye rolling and the weird expressions she would make and then try to say, well, I'm talking here and can I finish now? And like I was saying earlier, and this just went on and on. And those were just sort of the performance characteristics. But when it came down to something things that were substantive, for example, when they talked about packing the Supreme Court, she lost big when Mike Pence said to her, listen, are you going to answer this question? You know, you're not going to answer the question, are you? And she wouldn't answer the question. She just wouldn't. Because I think that she understood, she knew she was not allowed to answer that question. And so she went off on some other, kind of tangent, but it was completely obvious to anybody watching that the clear answer to that question from everything that we can, determine is, of course, yes. She would, the Biden ticket basically would want to pack the court. And so again, what a very defining moment in that debate. And on the other side of the break, we'll have some more. We'll have some audio clips from that. But just kind of looking it down here at some of my observations during the debate, and that was, she would shift around in her seat a lot too. I mean, she seemed to be uncomfortable ultimately because the talking points weren't destroying Mike Pence. And it's kind of like in the echo chamber and the bubble, it all sounds about right. You lost that trade war. You lost that trade war with China. And she and nobody else in their orbit, I think, thought that Mike Pence might come back and say, Joe Biden never fought it, which I thought was a key response to what Kamala Harris had just said. Because, again, it's kind of like the Biden-Harris campaign's trying to do the same thing that Nancy Pelosi wants you to do, that Michelle Obama evidently wants you to do, and that is just don't look around and perceive things. Just think about what we tell you. Meditate on what we tell you, and you'll have peace of mind. It will make you calm, that kind of stuff. I mean, so as opposed to you look around and you go, oh my gosh, look what these people are trying to do. They're trying to take away our freedom, or they want to, tax us to the nth degree, which I also thought was a great discussion. Joe is not going to raise taxes on anybody making $400,000 a year, less than $400,000. And of course, I think people all around the country are thinking, wow, I'm pretty sure you're going to raise my taxes. You can say that all you want. And that's a way of trying to make it sound like, because this is the perception. Oh, only fat cats sitting in some ivory tower somewhere in some glass office building. They're the ones that are bad people making $400,000 plus a year. And so they're going to help everybody now. Nope, that's not it at all. Because as we've talked about before, even small companies that have payrolls to meet, they might make $400,000 a year. And that company owner, that proprietor, might be taking home just a fraction of that after they pay expenses, pay their people, and try to get through another year. Oh, but no, but under the Joe Biden thing, they would be considered rich and they would have to be punished for that, right? They would have to be punished. Okay, folks, on the other side of the break, we've got some great audio clips from the debate. Stay right there.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. A short timeout, then back with more. So stay right there.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. Stay tuned for the Edwards Notebook right here on the Kyle Warren Show.
If President Trump is not reelected, forget about it. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, I was recently in Washington, D.C., along with Zechariah 2:5 prayer warriors and patriots who hail from almost every state of the Union, we join together in prayer for our beloved Republic, the President, Congress, Senate, and all seven pillars of society. Our mission of prayers also included great institutions like the U.S. Justice Department, the military, and the government schools, that they would return to their original call to properly educate students or be totally replaced. There were indeed fervent prayers against abortion and for that dreadful practice to be brought to an end. The United States is a constitutionally limited republic whose founding fathers and many others engaged in prayer seeking providential guidance, forgiveness of sins, and ultimate victory over British tyranny. Today, we the people, as refounding fathers, beseech our heavenly Creator's forgiveness of sins, His providential guidance, mercy, and ultimate victory over those seeking to destroy our beloved republic today, and for the re-election of President Trump. If not,
forget about it.
I'm Ron Edwards. Check out theronedwards.com.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
All right, racing through and rocketing through the Thursday edition of the broadcast. Welcome back, everybody. Kyle Warren with you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday, October the 8th edition of the program, October the 8th, 2020. We're 8 days into level 10, and it feels like we've had several obstacles already here in level 10 of 2020. But we're going to continue to meet them, no doubt about it. Okay, let me see here. This from Newsmax. President Trump has finished COVID-19 therapy. President Donald Trump's doctor says he fully anticipates President Trump can make a safe return to public engagements on Saturday. The assessment from Dr. Sean Conley comes in a letter Thursday updating the president's condition as he recovers from COVID-19. Conley says Trump has completed his course of therapy as prescribed by his team of physicians. Trump is eager to return to the campaign trail with the election less than 4 weeks away. Conley's letter also says the president's vital signs on Thursday included a heart rate of 69 beats per minute and a blood pressure reading of 127 over 81. Conley says that overall, he's responded extremely well to treatment without evidence of examination of adverse therapeutic effects, or without evidence on examination, I should say, of adverse therapeutic effects. Trump is in the midst of a heated election campaign against Democrat challenger and one-time Vice President Joe Biden. Trump's coronavirus infection has raised doubts about the second presidential debate, which has been set for October 15th. Because of the COVID risks, the organizing commission has decided the event, a town hall-style exchange, will be held virtually. Trump rejected that concept, and Biden was among those calling for a rescheduling. The second scheduled debate between Trump and Biden now appears to be canceled after Trump pulled out. Biden scheduled his own ABC town hall in Philadelphia for the same date. Let's see. A commission on presidential debates. Co-chairman Frank J. Frankenkoff, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, said on Fox News that the Biden campaign says it intends to debate Trump in person in Nashville on October 22nd, but that would be the final date for any debates before the election. Believe me, folks, the Biden campaign knows they need a debate much more than President Trump does. I think they're going to try to use this as a way to just make sure Biden doesn't have to stand there on the debate stage. Why would President Trump not want to agree to a full virtual debate? And that's because people in the room could be, I don't know, writing on whiteboards or something and holding up answers, or having a huge teleprompter in the back of the room for Biden to read off of, and no one would ever be the wiser, right? That's not watching the candidates be able to respond as they would have to as president of the United States. People want to get the measure of the candidate. And they can't do that ultimately through just the virtual thing. Now, people say, well, they watch it on television. Well, of course they do. But they're watching a live event that is not staged from either a campaign's headquarters kind of a thing, where they can have certain ways of helping their candidate off screen, that kind of thing. Okay, so let's listen in here. A couple of sound bites. Let's listen into some of what was going on between Vice President Pence and Senator Harris in Salt Lake City.
Dr. Anthony Fauci and other experts say that most of the people who can be vaccinated need to be vaccinated. But half of Americans now say they wouldn't take a vaccine if it was released now. If the Trump administration approves a vaccine before or after the election, should Americans take it, and would you take it?
If the public health professionals, if Dr. Fauci, if the doctors tell us that we should take it, I'll be the first in line to take it. Absolutely. But if Donald Trump tells us that we should take it, I'm not taking it.
Okay, stop right there. I've got to tell you, that answer is just bizarre. Number one, I don't think President Trump evaluates the vaccine. He doesn't, President Trump, for all the great things he knows how to do and everything, he's not a virologist in that sense. So I don't think the President Trump would tell you, here, Kamala Harris, take the vaccine, or this, but of course, I guess in the world of the far left, it would be, and take the vaccine, that kind of stuff, right? but the way that she responded, well, the doctors, if Dr. Fauci told me, well, Dr. Fauci, I don't know, told you to jump off a building, would you do? I mean, come on, man. That sounds like a Joe Biden thing. Come on, man. We just don't have to do everything Dr. Fauci tells us to do either. But she's only saying that because she's trying to, again, sort of just really emphasize the fact that if Donald Trump said the world is round, we'd all say it was flat. Just because we don't want to agree with Donald Trump. That's the kind of thing. If Donald Trump said water was wet, okay, no, that's not it. And I'm gonna follow the science. We got some scientists over here gonna tell us water's not wet, or something like that. Just because they hate Donald Trump, and just like Ted Cruz told Andrew Cuomo the other day, Chris Cuomo. Said the other day, say, okay, you hate Trump. I get it. And Cuomo's like, I don't hate Trump. It's obvious. And even the way, and I'd hate to say this, but what my takeaway was is Kamala Harris just kept looking daggers when she wasn't trying to laugh and really? Or is that what you're saying? Kind of a thing. Which maybe she thought was playing differently on TV than it was actually playing on TV. But she would just look daggers at Pence, like, all the time. And I just really, I think a lot of people will find that off-putting. Because the feeling I got was, you could have a business negotiation with Mike Pence, for example. And you may not get everything you want, and you may not even agree. You might even disagree vehemently. But you could probably sit there and come to some kind of arrangement. With Kamala Harris, I just didn't get that same sort of vibe. I don't think other people will either. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. It's not a personal attack. I just think it's one of those things. It's an X factor that people have. Reagan was so opposed to the politics of Tip O'Neill and the Democrats and the left of that era, and Reagan was so totally opposed, but you could talk to him and he could talk to them and it went back and forth, and he was and one of the greatest things I ever heard Ronald Reagan say, and I think it was at some function or something, I remember way back in the day, and seeing the film footage of it. And I think Tip O'Neill was there that night, and President Reagan said, well, after 6 p.m., we're all friends, you know, that kind of thing. And that was very powerful, especially even in that era. And that was a very, very divided time as well, because of Reaganism and conservatism and the pushback from the left and the pushback from the media. It's always kind of been there, and it was there then, and it's there now, and it's really exacerbated. And that's why, you know, I so much appreciate Tom Del Becchero and his book, The Divided Era. But Kamala Harris doesn't give you the notion that, you know, hey, we could even work together during this divided era. I just kind of get her way or the highway. So let's hear Mike Pence's response to that.
The fact that you continue to undermine public confidence in a vaccine, if the vaccine emerges during the Trump administration, I think is unconscionable. And Senator, I just ask you, stop playing politics with people's lives. The reality is that we will have a vaccine, we believe, before the end of this year. And it will have the capacity to save countless American lives, and your continuous undermining of confidence in a vaccine is just, it's just unacceptable.
The smirking and the eye rolling and the, oh, sort of looking at Pence like, oh, you poor man, you know, that it's so funny the way that she's, you know, and again, I don't know if she rehearsed that or if that was just nerves. I think she was probably pretty nervous during the whole thing, but, it really just didn't come off well. And I think that she was so disappointing to the far left that they don't even know how to see straight today, honestly. Okay, when we come back, a lot more.
You're listening to Kyle Warren.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh. Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What will you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug-Into E-Cycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plug-in.
In sports, 5 games were featured in hockey action last night.
Every year, millions of people rely on portable generators when they lose access to electricity. But some of them don't understand that a portable generator's carbon monoxide emissions can kill if their generators are used indoors. So we're here to clear the air. Always take your generator outside, away from windows and doors. When you take it outside, you distance yourself from the dangers of carbon monoxide. For more safety tips, visit TakeYourGeneratorOutside.com.
Have you saved a life today?
We organize a blood drive at our school.
My blood type is O. They really need that.
Have you saved a life today?
I have cancer, but I make sure all my friends know how important it is to give blood.
My blood helps heart patients or accident victims.
Have you saved a life today?
No, but today, someone's blood saved my son.
The American Red Cross. Call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE.
Hi, folks. This is Kyle Warren. I'd like to hear from you about the things we're talking about on the program. Go to KyleWarrenShow.com, click on Send Kyle a Message, or send it to my Facebook page, Facebook.com/KyleWarrenShow.
I'm Ron Edwards, host of The Edwards Notebook, and you're being schooled by Kyle Warren, the professor of politics.
Yes, that's right, and welcome back, everybody. Class in session, taking attendance. And welcome back. Glad that you're here, and we have an awful lot more to tell you about and talk about here on this Thursday edition of the program. And let me see here. Yes, I do want to tell you about this Gretchen Whitmer story. Very disturbing story, to say the least. This from USA Today, Dateline Lansing, Michigan. 13 members of an anti-government group bent on igniting a civil war are charged in a plot to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who the group targeted in a possible commando raid on the state capitol, according to newly unsealed court records. Authorities said Thursday that the Wolverine Watchmen group planned on storming either the capitol or Whitmer's vacation home as part of a broader mission to instigate a civil war. The FBI and Michigan's attorney general outlined felony domestic terrorism charges against the group's organizers, who planned on hurling Molotov cocktails at any police officers who tried to stop the kidnapping, a federal affidavit said. Members of the group bought weapons, conducted surveillance, and held training and planning meetings, but they were foiled in part because the FBI infiltrated the group with informants, according to a criminal complaint. Six were charged with federal kidnapping offenses, and at least seven others face state charges. And again, yeah, the FBI will find out about these kinds of things. That's what the FBI does. They are the world's premier law enforcement and investigative agency. There's no doubt about that. And that's their job, to look after, and root out possible terrorist acts, foreign and domestic, here in the country. And so I am pleased that they were able to uncover this. I am very happy that Governor Whitmer is safe, and no harm has come to her. And, of course, we have talked about Governor Whitmer on the program. We have, had some fun about the way that she has been, dealing with the emergency powers and so forth. In fact, there was a story just a couple of days ago. But let there be no mistake at all. All of Americans, freedom-loving Americans, do not agree at all with any kind of violent maneuver, any kind of terrorist act, anything that would bring harm to an elected official, anything that would go against the very ideals that we talk about every single day on this program and others, including the Captain's Program and all the other great hosts that we mentioned and talk about, many of that you listen to as well. You will never hear anybody ever support anything like this, or give it any credence, or give it any oxygen, or give it any kind of a support. And so again, I'm very happy to report that Governor Gretchen Whitmer is safe, and no harm has or will come to her. So that is a very, very good thing. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we deal in ideas and we deal in persuasion, and that's what we're about. And so this particular group evidently has a very a dim view of the very ideals that America was founded upon, and that we uphold, and that our police officers, law enforcement, FBI, local law enforcement, state law enforcement, you know, state troopers and so forth, and of course the U.S. military as a whole. Those are the things that they especially uphold through their great service to our nation. So that's a very, very bizarre story. I'm sure we'll be talking about it on the Captain's America later on this evening. Okay, so let's go back to some of the highlights here from the debate from Biden and Harris. Let's listen in to another section.
You know, what's remarkable is the United States has reduced CO2 more than the countries that are still in the Paris Climate Accord, but we've done it through innovation, and we've done it through natural gas. and fracking.
The west coast of our country is burning, including my home state of California. Joe sees what is happening on the Gulf states, which are being battered by storms. And Joe's plan is about saying we're going to deal with it, but we're also going to create jobs. Donald Trump, when asked about the wildfires in California, and the question was, you know, the science is telling us this. You know what Donald Trump said? Science doesn't know.
And there you have Kamala Harris. Well, here's the thing, Senator Harris. Does science know about the people who are actually setting the fires? I think one person, this went viral, one person actually caught somebody setting the fire, basically. And I think it was in Oregon, if I recall correctly. It might have been Northern California. But even so, nasty climate change is out there, basically setting fires. And again, it sounds real. It sounds real, like imperative, like, my state of California is burning. Well, your state of California and I guess my state of California here in California, we don't have a lot of forest management or land management. Yes, I know some of it's federal land, but either way, we don't see other areas on fire, the way that we see happening in California in particular. Yes, parts of the Pacific Northwest. But here's the thing, as Joe Biden might say, here's the deal, right? If you don't have adequate management of wildfires and possibility of wildfires, yes, it will look very much like there is some kind of major global problem happening. But in reality, it's something that, and even so, let's just say that global warming was real and all that stuff. Why wouldn't we manage the forest to help mitigate that? My goodness. You see, and by the way, Kamala Harris, I think if I recall correctly, she said something about she believes in science. And I'm hearing this a lot more. I believe in science. And I think that so many of us in the modern world, we use science as a tool to uncover things, to better understand the environment. And by that, I mean, the world around us, how things work, mathematics and all these kinds of stuff. All this goes together in order to build up more knowledge, right? And that science really is a tool or a method. But what's happening, and I think this is very, very important, very, very important, the term science has now become the new religious term for the left. They believe in science, and you don't believe in science. And if you don't believe in science, you're less than, because we have a scientific priesthood over here. We have scientific, devotees, basically, who aren't, we're not talking about the scientific method. Like when you go to school and you want to learn, hey, I'm going to make a hypothesis, and then I'm going to go out and I'm going to gather evidence and I'm going to do testing to see if my hypothesis is correct, right? Okay, hypothesis, the earth is round. Let's go do some experiments to find out if the earth is round or not. Hypothesis, the earth is flat. Let's do some experiments. And then basically you will find that most of your experiments, or not, if not all of them, of course, but basically you're going to start figuring out that the earth is round, okay? Because you're doing the scientific method. Now, the climate does change. There used to be an ice age, for goodness sake. I don't know how many History Channel things I've seen on the ice age. And then the earth warmed up. And then it had a little ice age several hundred years ago, we understand. And things change over time. Of course it does. But they, the far left, have taken this, made it into a religious dogmatic position that if you don't agree, you're anti-science. There's a guy running for state senate here in California, in Southern California, named Morlock. And the commercial comes on and says, Morlock is a, and no, he's not from the Time Machine movie. Remember, there was the Morlocks that lived underground or something. And I'm sure he gets that all the time. But the point is, they say, Morlock, an anti-science politician. And what's the solution? Well, the solution is so-and-so, and he's a law professor in Irvine and this kind of stuff. And he's pro-science, or he's good for science. I don't know what it is. But just the way that they're using that terminology now becomes a religious dogmatic statement. And it really is concerning because it becomes the new paganism. And again, it's kind of like, and if you're not on our side, if you don't agree with us, and we suspect that you're anti-science, well, then that's going to cause a whole thing, and we can ostracize you, or we can make fun of you, or we can do this, when the average American person is going to be just as scientific, more or less, as the other one, as the next one, because we understand about figuring things out scientifically. But again, it's used as a bludgeon to make you agree. And if you disagree, you're anti-science. And I enjoy studying science. I always love science. Earth science, probably one of my favorite, that and physics and astronomy in high school. Those are my favorite subjects I remember taking in high school. And because you could learn so much, and I love astronomy and I love the stars, all these, and we learn about these scientifically, right? Until you come up against the Democrat Party, in which case you just have to go, yes, okay, I'll believe whatever you tell me to believe. Just don't call me out. Okay, folks, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the radio tonight.
You're listening.
Right back here tomorrow. Take care out there.